This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. Geico has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to geico.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Trump creates the most buzz. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Thursday, October 20th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Presidential candidate Donald Trump says he's not sure if he can respect election results if rival Hillary Clinton wins. We'll have analysis of the final debate.
In sports, the Cleveland Indians will represent the American League in the World Series, while the Dodgers and Cubs are tied at two in the National League.
Big rate increases for health insurance premiums present a big test for Obamacare this year. We'll explain why.
And how much we can expect to pay to heat our homes this winter.
Well, generally speaking, this winter, consumers should expect their heating bills to be about what they've seen the last couple of years. Bills will probably be about 10% higher than they were last year nationally. However, last year was a record low, so compared to what they've seen in earlier years, we're still 20 or 30% lower than many of the higher bills we've seen in the earlier 2000s.
Brendan O'Brien at the American Gas Association has a winter forecast for natural gas prices for the coming months. He's here in about 20 minutes.
This is the end, my only friend.
In the third and final presidential debate, Republican Donald Trump wouldn't commit to respecting the results of the vote if Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton were to win. Mr. Trump's response to the question from moderator Chris Wallace of Fox News was different from his response in the first debate when he said, quote, "If she wins, I will absolutely support her." Mr. Trump also addressed the list of women who've accused him of sexual misconduct.
And I didn't even apologize to my wife, who's sitting right here, because I didn't do anything. I didn't know any of these women. I didn't see these women. These women, the woman on the plane, the woman, I think they want either fame or her campaign did it. And I think it's her campaign.
Mrs. Clinton, meanwhile, spoke of Mr. Trump's fitness to be president.
I'm just amazed that he seems to think that the Iraqi government and our allies and everybody else launched the attack on Mosul to help me in this election. But that's how Donald thinks.
The debate was held at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. On the economy, Mrs. Clinton promised to invest in infrastructure, raise the minimum wage, and make college debt free for some families. Mr. Trump promised massive tax cuts and a reduction in regulations. He also vowed to end the North American Free Trade Agreement. Get some debate analysis now from Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today. He's with us live this morning. You know, just because you got about 17 minutes of sleep doesn't mean you could be any less witty or sarcastic this morning.
No, it's okay. I'm still sleeping. Don't
worry. All right. Give us your general takeaways from last night.
Well, you know, I really do think that the only takeaway that matters is that whole issue of I won't or may not respect the outcome of the vote. It was just shocking. It was just one of those things that you don't expect someone to say. We've never heard it, and everyone anywhere near where I was gasped when he said it. I mean, it just, when you do that, you make it almost impossible to broaden your base. I mean, this is the third debate, and Donald Trump has been trailing in the polls the past 3 or 4 weeks. So he has to turn it around, and he has to turn around by reaching out to people, and I don't think he did that. And immediately afterwards, all of his campaign associates were basically trying to walk it backwards, but I don't think you can walk that backwards. He said flat out, I'll tell you later whether I'm going to respect the vote.
Well, it didn't mean, I guess, he committed either way, but it was sort of surprising that he would not say he would respect it because he did in the first debate.
Right, and he said, I'll keep you in suspense.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, well, that's not very helpful.
Did you get the sense, though, that voters were swayed after watching the third and final one last night? And, you know, any of the undecideds, for example?
Yeah, there's no way to know, of course. I mean, you know, maybe suppose people were watching that and thought they saw something dramatically different. But I think you saw very much the same type of appearance from both Mr. Trump and Ms. Clinton that we've seen through the first two debates. You know, Trump did some of the same things that excite his base, but don't excite swing voters. If you weren't leaning towards him because the last two debates, I don't see anything he did last night that makes you suddenly lean towards him now. That's the thing that strikes me, is that he didn't fundamentally change. He didn't fundamentally change his sort of public persona. What would suddenly make you close a 4 or 5 or 6 point gap in a state where you've been down?
Yeah. Also, politics aside, Mrs. Clinton appeared very prepared last night. And I know she was mocked for debate prep. You know, she stayed away from the campaign trail for a few days. But she had an answer and a prepared one for everything.
Yeah. I mean, that is something she's great at, right? I mean, that's one of the things she does well, is she prepares well. She does her homework. I mean, I actually thought that she dodged a bunch of questions, too. I mean, they asked some pretty direct questions about her foundation, which she ducked.
Mm-hmm.
Even her answer on, trade is still a little bit murky. Yes, Hillary Clinton provides, and provided what we expected to provide in all these debates, a very well trained debate performer with a lot of experienced and well-parsed answers to questions. Again, I don't think she changes any, performance changes any minds either, with the exception that it is possible that people just finally at some point throw up their hands and say, Donald Trump is full of excuses and he's full of this, I may or may not support the election. What are you talking about? I can't vote for this guy.
Yeah.
And that is still possible.
We're speaking live this morning with Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today, talking about last night's third and final presidential debate. Did you say, by the way, there have been 25 debates overall when you count the primaries?
It was my colleague Cooper Allen counted.
Goodness.
It was the 25th one. We're like, oh, Lord, that's 50 hours of our lives we're not getting back.
It's about 22 too many. Did you like the issues last night? Supreme Court right out of the gate.
Yeah, I will say that this debate started off, aside from the fact they didn't shake hands, it started off much more civil. They were on issues.
Yeah.
They were talking about abortion, and you get a clear distinction. Donald Trump says he will appoint pro-life justices and Roe versus Wade is probably going to go away. Hillary Clinton says, I believe that Roe v. Wade should remain the law of the land. Nice distinction right off the bat.
Right.
Same with guns. She was talking much more about, can't we protect people better? And he was saying, I'm going to protect the Second Amendment no matter what. Okay, that was clear. That's mm-hmm. a good difference. And then it started to go downhill from there.
Right. Chris Wallace from Fox News. Does he win the debate moderator's award for best?
I thought he did a very nice job. I mean, he pushed them to try and get some answers, even when he wasn't getting any. He tried to keep everybody on course. He, fought back on time, tried to stop them from shouting at each other. I thought he did a pretty good job. Top notches for Chris Wallace.
Would you say that anybody actually scored a victory? I know we like to talk about that sometimes in very simplistic debate terms. Was there a winner?
I think at this point the winner has to be Hillary Clinton because she didn't fall over. All she needed to do was hold serve. Remember, as I said, she's been leading in the polls throughout the campaign, and it looked close, very close, just before the debate started. That is, the three debates started. It had been looking not as close the past couple of weeks. She needed to just keep her distance from Donald Trump, and I don't see anything happen last night that fundamentally reshapes this race in his favor, which is what he needed.
Yeah. Very good. Hey, Paul, thanks for a few minutes, as always. Much appreciated. Paul Singer, Washington correspondent at USA Today, on really what amounts to getting minutes of sleep last night before appearing with us this morning. It's 15 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Need a website? Why not do it yourself with Wix.com? No matter what business you're in, Wix.com has something for you. Used by more than 84 million people worldwide, Wix.com makes it easy to get your website live today. You need to get the word out about your business. It all starts with a stunning website. With hundreds of designer-made, customizable templates to choose from, and the drag-and-drop editor, there is no coding needed. You don't need to be a programmer or designer to create something beautiful. You can do it yourself with Wix.com. Wix.com empowers business owners to create their own professional websites every day. When you're running your own business, you're bound to be busy. Too busy. Too busy worrying about your budget. Too busy scheduling appointments. Too busy to build a website for your business. And because you're too busy, it has to be easy. And that's where Wix.com comes in. With Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com to create your own website today. The result is stunning. Glad you could be with us. A fresh offensive is underway in Iraq today to dispel Islamic State fighters from villages around Mosul, the last major stronghold that ISIS has in Iraq. An elite army unit and Kurdish fighters earlier this morning got support in the air and on the ground from the U.S.-led coalition. Reuters reports that howitzer and mortar fire hit a group of villages held by Islamic State around 13 miles north and east of Mosul while helicopters flew overhead. Major General Gary Valesky is commander of the 101st Airborne Division.
The Iraqis are ahead of where I thought they would be when this operation started. They continue to move and continue to liberate villages.
The Iraqi government announced Monday the start of the offensive on Mosul, the country's second largest city. 4 days into the assault, U.S.-backed government and Kurdish forces are steadily recovering outlying territory before the big push into the city itself. A cloud of black smoke rose from some frontline villages today, probably caused by oil fires, a tactic the militants use to escape air surveillance. This portion of the program is brought to you by Cameron Hughes. No more worrying about what wine to pick or will it be good? Are you overpaying? Once you try Cameron Hughes, you'll never want to buy from anyone else. His wines deliver on taste, quality, and value. You've heard me talk about Cameron Hughes before. His wines continue to be top-notch. Why drink wine you think might be nice? Because of the price or the fancy label. Cameron Hughes wines are perfect for any occasion. The price is right, and the quality is guaranteed. Now, Cameron Hughes doesn't typically offer discounts because his prices are already 40 to 80% less than retail. But there's a great offer right now for our listeners. Order 3 bottles of wine, and you'll get free shipping, plus a free sommelier corkscrew. This is a great way to try wines that are already up to 80% off. It's a no-brainer to try Cameron Hughes wine. The only way to get free shipping and your free sommelier corkscrew on your first order is to go to chwine.com. CH, like Cameron Hughes, chwine.com. Shop for your bottles, then enter my code DEAL at checkout. That's code DEAL when you check out. Don't wait. It's a limited time offer. Again, chwine.com and code DEAL at checkout. 21 minutes now after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, as a tumultuous campaign nears an end, undecided voters across the country watch the final debate of the presidential race with a mix of skepticism and rapt attention. Hillary Clinton criticized Donald Trump's treatment of women.
Donald thinks belittling women makes him bigger. He goes after their dignity, their self-worth, and I don't think there is a woman anywhere who doesn't know what that feels like.
Trump addressed the growing list of sexual misconduct allegations against him.
And I didn't even apologize to my wife, who's sitting right here, because I didn't do anything. I didn't know any of these women. I didn't see these women. These women, the woman on the plane, the woman, I think they want either fame or her campaign did it. And I think it's her campaign.
The candidates also sparred over abortion, gun rights, immigration, and the Supreme Court. North Korea launched an intermediate-range ballistic missile today, but it immediately failed, Defense Secretary Ash Carter.
The recent dramatic increase in North Korean nuclear tests and ballistic missile launches remind us of the grave threat it poses to our collective security.
Carter says in light of such provocative acts, the U.S.'s defense posture must be robust. A California jury has cleared NBA star Derrick Rose and two co-defendants in a $21.5 million federal civil rape trial. After deliberating for 3 hours, the federal jury rejected the woman's claim that the 28-year-old former MVP point guard, who now plays for the New York Knicks, and two of his friends broke into her Los Angeles apartment in August of 2013 and raped her while she was too incapacitated to give consent. The three men acknowledged having sex with a woman but said it was consensual. The Cleveland Indians are in the World Series for the first time in 19 years after rookie Ryan Merritt combined with three relievers on a six-hitter and a 3-0 shutout of the Blue Jays. In the National League, the Cubs even their series with the Dodgers by hammering Los Angeles 10-2. The Cubs put together a 4-run fourth and 5-run sixth after failing to score at all in the previous two games.
As you said last hour, it's on now. this is going to be good. How about this guy, Ryan Merritt? You can't do that.
You can't do that.
Second major league start and go out and put up that performance.
That's awesome.
You're supposed to be nervous. Throw the ball all over the place. Wow. Impressive. 23 minutes after the hour on this morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Due to last winter's unseasonably warm temperatures,
even average weather conditions this winter would mean that we would use more gas on average and therefore see slightly higher bills. That's the summary of the annual winter outlook forecast released yesterday by the American Gas Association. So what can we expect when those monthly bills roll in? Here's Brendan O'Brien, senior energy analyst at the AGA. Brendan, what's on the horizon?
Well, generally speaking, this winter, consumers should expect their heating bills to be about what they've seen the last couple of years. This has a lot to do with the fact that the National Weather Service is forecasting that this winter will be a little bit warmer than average, and then it'll be a little bit colder than last year's. So when that comes down to it, their bills will probably be about 10% higher than they were last year nationally. However, last year was a record low. So compared to what they've seen in earlier years, we're still 20 or 30% lower than many of the higher bills we've seen in the earlier 2000s.
All right. So where is, I guess, the price of natural gas these days? What has it done over, the past year?
Sure. So since last year, the commodity price of gas, which, remember, that's only a part of the bill. There's many other things that factor into it. But the price of gas is about 15% higher than what it was last year.
Wow.
However, when you look back at the year prior to that, this year it's about 45% lower.
Why the fluctuation?
So while there is an uptick, it's still not the same as what we've seen in previous years.
Wow. So why the fluctuation like that?
Well, right now it's kind of a production thing. We've had record production every single year. And then in the case of last year, you had record production, you had a warmer winter, you had plenty of gas in the ground in storage. And so right now we're seeing a bit of a correction in the supply and demand market. But, again, going forward, these bills are still expected to be a lot lower than what we've seen in previous winters.
We're speaking with Brendan O'Brien, senior energy analyst at the American Gas Association. We're talking about how much it'll cost to heat our homes this winter. So from a consumer standpoint, then, can we generally do things differently in our homes if we're trying to save a few bucks on the gas bill?
Sure. Well, the easiest thing you can do is if you're not actually around to use it, you should probably dial your thermostat down a little bit, 8 hours or more. And if you want to take it a step further, you can invest in a smart thermostat, which will handle a lot of these decisions for you. And then I'd also suggest that they check out their local natural gas utility, because they may find that they'll have programs to help them weatherize their home, make upgrades, or even switch to natural gas if they're just hearing this for the first time, because there's lots of opportunities to hook up. It's not just heating. It's also water heating, it's cooking, it's even clothes drying.
So more broadly with regards to natural gas, is there an infinite supply?
Well, we've certainly seen a huge change in the landscape here in the United States in the last 10 years. We've seen, again, record production year after year, almost twice as much as being produced in the United States as it was 10 years ago. And that really is being shown in consumers' bills.
Thanks, Brendan. Brendan O'Brien from the American Gas Association. 30 minutes now after the hour. Whether traveling or working remotely, we know your PC is your business headquarters. And when work takes you on the go, you need a laptop that can keep up. Dell's XPS 13 empowers small business owners to collaborate anywhere with incredible battery life and powerful performance. Reduce downtime by 50% and boost productivity with 4 times faster performance when you refresh to new Dell PCs featuring Intel Core processors. Explore the XPS 13 at Dell.com/radio. If you're looking to grow or relocate your business, there are 3 numbers you should know. 10, 2000, and 6. 10 stands for Michigan being one of America's top 10 states for business. 2000 is the number of burdensome regulations Michigan has eliminated in the last 5 years. And 6 stands for Michigan's rank for best entrepreneurial climates. All those numbers add up to the one state that has all that and more. Michigan. Go to MichiganBusiness.org to learn more. That's MichiganBusiness.org to learn more.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
We have undocumented immigrants in America who are paying more federal income tax than a billionaire.
Let me just tell you very simply, we're entitled, because of the laws that people like her pass, to take massive amounts of depreciation and other charges, and we do it.
Third and final debate last night. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka on this Thursday, October 20th. Some of our top stories and headlines. In the final debate, Trump said he's not ready to respect Election Day results if Hillary wins. The Associated Press says immigration authorities only caught just over half of people who entered here illegally from Mexico last year. Former UVA football player suing the school, alleging hazing incidents like staged fist fights and naked wrestling. Indians to the World Series
and the three-year-old with an epic outfit for her preschool pictures. That story in about 20 minutes. Have you seen your health insurance premiums? Wall Street Journal health policy writer Louise Radnovsky says finalized rates show the magnitude of the challenge facing the Obama administration as it seeks to stabilize the insurance market under the Affordable Care Act in its remaining weeks in office. Louise, what are we looking at?
We're looking at some average increases that suggest that all is pretty serious in the individual market this year. Big insurers in a number of states have sought and won averages of 30% or more. In some states, it's been 50% or more. This is a pretty ugly year out there, and the big insurers really show what's happening across the market to other insurers as well, and the type of scenarios that consumers are going to be grappling with as they go to pick their choices for coverage as they buy coverage on their own this year.
Yikes. What's the spin from the White House or the Obama administration about this?
Well, there's really two types of consumer, and it's important to recognize both of them. There are a group of people who buy coverage through healthcare.gov, most of whom get subsidies that are pegged both to their income and to the cost of insurance in their area. And so those people do not feel the full impact of premium increases. Sometimes they don't feel them at all because their subsidy grows and offsets them. There's another group of people about similar in size who don't go through healthcare.gov because they don't qualify for tax credits, and they pay the full price of a premium increase. So the Obama administration in its messaging has primarily focused on the former group because they're a group of people to whom they can point and say, coverage is available at a price that is less than $100 for you. But for other people, the price is far greater than that.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Wall Street Journal health policy reporter Louise Radnovsky. Her piece is called Rate Increases for Health Plans Pose Serious Test for Obama's Signature Law. All right, so why the risk then? Why is this a serious test?
The health law has struggled for the first couple of years because not enough healthy people have signed up, and too many, from the point of view of insurers, sick people have because they incur large medical claims. Obviously, a key part of the law was aimed at getting insurance coverage to these sick people or people with high medical risk, precisely because they needed it to access care. But their position is in jeopardy if not enough other people flood in to sort of meet the cost of their claims. And so for people who didn't buy insurance in the past couple of years at the prices that it was available at, who are now looking at even higher prices this year, the fear is that the situation could become compounding at some point, and people will only continue to be put off by ever higher prices, with the only people who are still willing to buy at that price being the very sickest.
So at this point, what, there has to be an intense push, I guess, to get these younger, healthier people to sign up, right? But that's kind of what's been happening. Right? I mean, they've been trying this.
It certainly has been something we've heard about every year. This year, the Obama administration says that it has learned from the previous 3 years and has new ideas aimed at targeting young people, young men in particular, through online gaming platforms, and people who've been paying the penalty for going uninsured, for whom they have some information because of the IRS, and so they want to contact them directly as well. So the hope is, from their perspective, they can really go after people who are younger and presumably eligible for relatively large subsidies as people who can get coverage that they can both afford and then in turn prop up these risk pools.
I know you quoted House Speaker Paul Ryan in the story as saying the insurance markets are already in a, quote, death spiral and we're going to have to change this thing. Does he have a specific plan in place he's peddling?
It's interesting. At the moment, what we're hearing from both sides is a need for change to the law. Both sides, both political parties, mean, as far as we can tell, different things when they say that. But it's not at all impossible that come next year, they're going to have to come together and really hammer out an agreement that both sides can agree on.
Thanks, Louise. Wall Street Journal health policy reporter Louise Radnovsky. 21 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, glad you could spend some time with us on this Friday eve. Well, we're all done with the presidential debates, as you probably know. The final one was last night at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. What were people Googling during and after the debate? We're joined now live by Daniel Siebert, Google Trends expert. Morning, Daniel. What'd you find?
Good morning, Gordon. Well, we saw, you know, a good amount of search interest around both the candidates themselves, some of the top issues that we saw nationally. At the top, actually, was voter registration. And coupled with that, during the final few minutes, we saw a 330% increase in searches for early voting. So what that tells us is that it seems like people are really resonating with what the candidates are saying on one level or another, and they're keen to have their voice heard on Election Day. So at Google, we've tried to make that as simple as possible for people. You can search for who's on my ballot, what's on my ballot, and even where do I vote, just to ensure that people can get that information very easily and quickly on any device or their laptop.
Which topics did it seem like folks were seeking the most information on?
Well, you know, the topics that stood out, I would say national debt was searched a good bit. It was in the top five. Roe versus Wade was one of the top issues searched with Hillary Clinton. Same with the Clinton Foundation. And then with Donald Trump, people had questions about his stance on the Iraq War, which has come up before, on Justice Ginsburg. I mean, at one point, Hillary Clinton actually said, Google it. And so we did see a big spike in people turning to search during that moment.
Very good. So how is this different from, say, the prior two debates? Were you able to notice any patterns or anything?
I would say that there were some minor differences. One is that during this debate, we saw a few more sort of personal questions about the candidates. So things like how old is Hillary Clinton? How tall is Hillary Clinton? Where did Donald Trump go to college? How much does he make? You know, in addition to questions about the issues themselves, but these are the types of things you might have assumed that people knew at this point in the election cycle, but the reality is we're in some ways still getting to know them.
We're speaking live this morning with Daniel Siebert, Google Trends expert, talking about what we're searching for during and after the third and final presidential debate last night, which took place in Las Vegas. Were you able to tell who we searched for more, whether it was Clinton or Trump?
Well, Donald Trump garnered the most search interest at 70% compared to Hillary Clinton at 30%. That is not that dissimilar from what we've seen in past debates. In fact, during the first debate was one of the few times where Hillary Clinton actually got more search interest than Donald Trump. Over the past year or so, we've seen Donald Trump very high in search interest. I think the reasons for that vary depending on people who either align with his beliefs, but also are just curious about something he might have said.
Yeah.
So, we sort of leave that up to the pundits to read into it.
Are you able to tell, state by state, what people are searching for?
We can. So we look geographically state by state. In some cases, we break it down by county. But at a high level, the states were fairly consistent. There was not a lot of variation. The top issues were abortion, police, ISIS, immigration, the national debt, voter registration, big up there. These were the types of issues that resonated across the board and across the various states.
Very good. Hey, thanks for sharing a few minutes this morning. Good talking to you. Daniel Siebert, Google Trends expert, with us live this morning. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the username @ThisMorningShow. And if you like a little cynicism and sarcasm, you can follow me directly @GordonDeal. It's 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Trips to the post office are never convenient, so why not get postage right from your desk with Stamps.com? Stamps.com even gives you special postage discounts you can't get at the post office, including ones for first class, priority mail, express, international, and more. You'll never pay full price for postage again. Stamps.com is easy to use, all from your own computer and printer. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package, then just hand your mail to the mailman or drop it in a mailbox. It's no wonder over 600,000 small businesses already are using Stamps.com. Right now, you can sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer that includes postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Get started with Stamps.com today. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
President Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton held their third and final debate of the campaign, facing off on issues including the Supreme Court, immigration, abortion, foreign affairs, and fitness to be president. Trump largely steered clear of making personal attacks against Clinton at the start of the debate, but then called her a liar and at one point labeled her a nasty woman. And after days of saying the election is rigged, Trump refused to say that he would accept the results of the election if he loses.
I will look at it at the time. I'm not looking at anything now. I'll look at it at the time. What I've seen is so bad.
That contradicts earlier pledges by his running mate Mike Pence, as well as his daughter Ivanka. Clinton called Trump's resistance horrifying. U.S. officials are confident the defensive measures put in place will stop Russia from hacking more emails to influence the upcoming election, at least for now. White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
You know, obviously there is oversight of these activities. There's oversight within the executive branch. There's oversight in Congress as well. You know, obviously there'd be appropriate congressional committees that will be a part of this discussion.
Intelligence sources say the U.S. and its allies have choked off cyber paths that the Russians have allegedly been using to steal emails from high-profile Democrats and other prominent people and make them public through WikiLeaks and other outlets. Federal health officials have made a new color-coded map for Miami and say pregnant women should stay out of the red zone, where Zika virus is actively infecting new people daily. And they say pregnant women should consider postponing all travel to Miami-Dade County. Florida remains the only state with verified local transmission of the virus. And the story of the walking man, that factory worker who walked 21 miles to work from a rooming house in Detroit to a suburban job and home again, is going to the screen. Detroit resident Jean-Claude Lewis is making a documentary about James Robertson. If you'll recall, Robertson was never late or absent from his job in a dozen years, even though there was no direct mass transit to get to work and he couldn't afford a car.
I remember that story. It was fascinating.
We can catch up and see how he's doing.
Finally got a car, though, right? I think one of the car companies finally got him on, or the online campaign or something. Right?
A lot of money came in, so we'll see how things have changed.
Good stuff. Thanks for the update. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Sometimes, even at the ripe age of 3, you have to go it alone on the fashion front. And that's just what Kayleanne Steinbach does. When she picks out her school outfits every morning, there are no mismatched socks, bright-colored blouses, or pajama-like pants. No, Kayleanne is all about superheroes. Fun story from CBS News. So, on class picture day at her preschool, she rocked a Superman outfit with a blue velvet dress and matching red cape. When the pictures finally came home, her parents were amused but not surprised. The picture's gone viral. She's even holding a Superman figurine. She's all the buzz at Mary Hill Preschool in Rockland, California. She'd been wearing the costume so much her parents had to sneak into her room to wash it at night. Kids in her class often try to guess which outfit she's going with. Her parents say it's safe to assume it'll be some version of a superhero costume. Dad Alex says he can't wait to hang the photo on the wall since it perfectly sums up Kayleanne's spunky personality. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. For more from This Morning Show, check us out at thismorningwithgordondeal.com.